Welcome to Ringside with Arif Dean, presented by Mile High Sports. I am, of course, your host, Arif Dean, Avalanche beat writer for Colorado Hockey Now, podcaster for Mile High Sports, and I am in true preseason form. Earlier this morning, I recorded a 30-minute podcast talking about the Avalanche roster and downloaded the file. Then I joined Sean Drotar over at Mile High Sports at the Sandy Clough and Sean Drotar show. I joined him for a segment to talk about pretty much the same things I did on the podcast. Logged off of that call, went to upload the podcast for all of my lovely followers and listeners, only to realize that the file had crashed. I don't know why. I don't know how it happened. But it's very much preseason form. So to make things easier for everyone, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to plug that interview that I had with Sean Drotar. Again, it's basically going over some of the roster decisions that the Avalanche made following that preseason loss and if the results of preseason matters. It's a lot of the things I discussed by myself, like I said, in that podcast file that obviously did not make it out alive. So I'm going to plug it in here with Sean Drotar. I'll catch you guys on the next episode of Ringside with Arif Dean. Thanks so much for listening. Here it is.
Arif Dean joins us, host of Ringside with Arif Dean, the podcast there over at ColoradoHockeyNow.com. Congratulations at that role as well. And, of course, you're Arif Dean here all the time on the station. Arif, thank you for joining us. Last night, the Avs lost to the Golden Knights 6-1 in the preseason. They dropped to 0-4 in the preseason. First thing to keep in mind, it's the preseason, and a lot of players who are playing in the preseason don't end up on the regular roster, so I don't want to overreact to it. But at the same time, in this preseason with two more games remaining, the Avs will open the regular season a week from tonight against the same Vegas Golden Knights. The Avs have been outscored 19-8 in the four games in the preseason. What are you seeing in the early going here from the players that you know are going to be on the roster?
I'm seeing a lot of days off. We haven't seen a lot of the top guys play a lot of games or a lot of minutes. And when they are in the lineup, it doesn't really look like they're doing much. And I've made this mistake in the past of reading too much into preseason. I think we do it a lot in every single sport, but I can't find myself to worry about results in preseason anymore. I don't think it really truly does matter. The first year Jared Bednar coached the Avalanche, we all remember the 22-win season. The Avs went undefeated in the preseason. Take it to football. We all remember the Lions going 0-16, but they were 4-0 in the preseason. So I really can't really care too much about it. But what I have seen from the Avalanche in the preseason this year is they went out of their way to keep a bigger training camp roster for a lot longer than a lot of other teams. They made 10 cuts about 12 hours ago. Mm-hmm. To reduce their roster down to 30. They were at 40. There weren't even a lot of teams left in the 30s by then. So they kept a ton of guys around for a long time to save the veterans from playing. Makar, MacKinnon, and Rantanen all played their first game. Drouin and Mittelstadt have yet to dress. We've seen Devon Taves once. We've seen Sam Girard once. I don't think we've seen Josh Manson yet. So they've been giving a lot of opportunities to guys that quite frankly just aren't NHLers, not on this team, not with the depth and the talent this team has. So Sean Behrens has played a lot. TJ Tynan has played a lot. Pierre-Edouard Bellemare, of course, you want him to center your fourth line. They've been playing the heck out of him. They've played a lot of Cal Ritchie, Yuri Inala, Nikolai Kovalenko. They're spotlighting the guys, even Ivan, as you have at the bottom. They're spotlighting the guys that they're trying to see if they have a fit on this roster, rather than spotlighting them alongside the players they're going to play with. So they're trying to see which two wingers are going to stick out enough to play with Casey Mittelstadt without even playing them with Casey Mittelstadt. They're trying to see who can separate themselves from the pack. Is it the right thing to do? I think it's a little weird that you want to see who fits with Casey Mittelstadt without playing them with Mittelstadt until the last two games of the preseason, which is what's going to happen starting tomorrow in Utah. But all of those are kind of why these results just don't matter. It's more of the individual performances.
Yeah. And speaking of then those, we talk about those prospects in particular. Like I feel like Kovalenko is probably as close to a lock as you're going to get. We saw him in the playoffs. You know, he looks good. He looks NHL ready. We know about the mindset, but let's focus in specifically on Cal Ritchie. Obviously there's a weird position there because You know, if he doesn't end up making the roster, you can play him for a couple of games like usual. But he doesn't go back to the Eagles. He can go back to junior. So what have you seen from Cal Ritchie? Do you think he looks close to making this team? Do you think he breaks with camp? Or do you think it's one of those situations where he's later in the year or maybe even the playoffs like we saw with Kovalenko?
So that would depend on what happens with his OHL season. But once the Avalanche send him down, he has to stay there the whole year. The reality is I think he will get 9 games minimum. So once you reach past 9 games, it burns the first year of your entry-level contract. So that's something the Avalanche are not going to want to do unless they absolutely need to. They're not going to want to do that unless Ritchie gives them a reason to say, you are staying on this team the entire season. But with that, the fact that they can give him 9 games and it doesn't affect his contract status and it doesn't affect anything, and without Lekkonen, Nichushkin, and Landeskog, you may as well see what you got in the kid. So he has shown flashes of brilliance. We also saw that fake shot goal that he scored on the breakaway against Utah. That was a lot of fun. The NHL Twitter and Instagram and social media feeds all had a lot of fun with that as well. But Jared was very forward with, like, you see the flashes of offensive brilliance and he called the goal insane, but he said that he did struggle on the defensive side of things. We know how much Jared loves his structure, and it's what makes this team a winning team. And for a 19-year-old, he's going to need to get up to speed, Cal Ritchie, to be a part of that system. So do I think he's on the opening night roster? Yes. Do I think he's going to play games in October? Yes. If you ask me if he's going to be here past the 9-game mark, and it's not Avalanche 9 games, it's him 9 games. So if you ask me if he's going to play himself more than 9 regular season games, I'd say it's about a 30% chance. With the 70% of him not playing, I can flip that to a 70-30 chance if he gives the team a reason to say, with Landeskog, with Nichushkin, with Lekkonen, Cal Ritchie's a top 12 forward.
And that's, I think, the question that they have to ask. And that's where I wonder where the strategy is, Arif. The idea that you do have a lot of young guys. You have a lot of young guys that are intriguing. And knowing that you won't have Landeskog to start the season, you won't have, obviously, Nichushkin to start the season. So do you think that Jared Bednar is interested in basically having maybe the early parts of October essentially being experimentation with lines, with talent, with youth? Are the Avs sort of okay with that, or do they want to make sure that they stick a little more with the veterans and come off to a good start? Which matters more, do you think?
No, it's absolutely going to be the first one. It's absolutely going to be the experimentation. They want to see what they have with these guys. And Jared said yesterday after the loss to Vegas, Jared Bednar said that his something that he likes to do is, or something that he's noticed with himself, is he's obviously a lot more patient in the beginning of the season than he is closer to the playoffs. He's willing to accept mistakes, obviously, as long as they're not repeatable. But what you have with this team right now is, so last night, Bednar put Kovalenko with Nate and Mikko, and he played pretty well. He looked like an Arturi Lekkonen light. You know, I Evan Rowell, one of the other media guys, he tweeted something that was so obvious that every time Mikko Rantanen got the puck into the offensive zone, he, without even pause, just dumped it into the corner and just let Kovalenko go after it, because he was testing the kid. Go in there and fight and dig and you know, be the puck hound that Lekkonen and Trushkin are in the corners. So it was almost like Rantanen just was standing straight, wasn't even like trying, just dumps it into the corners and lets Kovalenko battle for the puck. And Kovi did well. So the experimentation part of this is, well, maybe there is an opportunity, and I asked Jared Bednar about this yesterday, and he wouldn't commit to it yet, but maybe now you're starting to say, like, hey, we don't need to play Drouin with Mikkonen and Rantanen, and we can play Drouin with Mittelstadt, spread the wealth, and maybe put Ritchie with Drouin and Mittelstadt, maybe put Kovalenko with Nate and Mikko. So there's going to be a lot of experimentation. Bednar, without pause, without us even asking, even referenced the idea after morning skate on Tuesday of, hey, maybe I shift Ross Colton to the wing. Maybe if, you know, maybe Cal Ritchie plays third line center, maybe Ross Colton joins the top six as a winger. So they're going to do a ton of experimenting. Bednar's already got that in his mind. The team knows that they have the time to do it. And it's the same thing with the defensemen. They're not going to send down any of these 8 guys until they need to. And right now they don't need to, because they have the cap space, because Nichushkin's 6.125 is not counted against their cap until he's reinstated.
We're speaking to Arif Dean. Check out the podcast Ringside with Arif Dean, as well as the season that starts in a week for the regular season for the Avalanche. And defense is where I wanted to go next. They have a lot of skaters, obviously, in camp right now, even after the moves last night to pair the roster by 10. But the eight guys that are there are interesting. We know about the top pairings. We know about Makar and Taves. We know about Manson and Girard. But you look at the final four guys, Malinsky's the only other right-handed shot that would be unaccounted for in those four that we know aren't going to be on the top two pairs. And I think Malinsky's performance probably puts him in maybe an inside track to be on that third pairing. But who do you look at otherwise? Brännström's a fascinating guy. They signed Chylington later in free agency. DeHaan's more of a veteran. Where do you think they're looking?
So both Chylington and Brännström have played on the right.
My fault on the pronunciation.
Oh, yeah. You're all good. It's K-Y-L. It's not the easiest name to grasp.
I got a week.
Yeah. But Chylington and Brännström have both played on the right and on the left. So those are both options. I actually thought that Chylington and Brännström would be the third pair to start the season. But Sam Malinsky has far and away, kind of like what you said about Kovalenko, Sam Malinsky separated himself in the pack. He has earned the number five spot on this team. It's a matter of number six now, and you got three guys that are fighting for that. Now, the biggest thing to remember with DeHaan, Brännström, and Chylington is these are all new guys to the team. And especially, so DeHaan is a veteran. He's that Jack Johnson replacement, the veteran guy. You know what you got from him at this age, at this point. But then you got a couple of younger guys in Brännström and Chillington who are low-risk, high-reward signings. And we saw the Avalanche make these in the past at forward with Rodriguez, then Tatar, then Drouin. And, you know, specifically those final two names in Tatar and Drouin. Obviously, Tatar was a little bit older. But when you look at those two guys, they started last season struggling, both of them. And they were both healthy scratched at one point. They were both on the top line at one point. And it took each of them a while to figure it out. By the time the season was half old, Tomas Tatar was shipped out of town. And Jonathan Drouin went from being a healthy scratch and one assist in his first 10 games to being a guy that was playing 27 minutes a night with Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen coming back from a 3-0 deficit against the Penguins. Like, his season flipped on a dime. But it took both Tatar and Drouin a little bit of time. So that's me trying to say that Malinsky has familiarity with this system. He's an older guy. This is his second training camp. He played well last year with the Avalanche and knew what to work on, worked on it, got better at it, has solidified a spot. I'm not ready to write off Chylington and Brännström yet, but I do think that Calvin DeHaan will be in the opening night lineup while the Avalanche wait to see which of Brännström or Chylington step up. And I do think all four of those guys, and I don't think Malinsky will be scratched at any point unless there's an injury, but all four of those guys will play games in October because the Avalanche, like I said, earliest possible reinstatement for Val is November 13th. Until then, they have the flexibility to say, let's carry all eight of these guys. Let's see what we got so that when Val's back, if we need to send one to the minors and, you know, pass him through waivers, which might be difficult, we know who we're willing to get rid of at this point. Right now, they just don't know what they have. But Calvin DeHaan to me says, as the veteran, as the guy that you know what you're going to get, well, you know, assuming nothing changes over the next week, there's still two preseason games for Brännström and Chillington to show up. But I think DeHaan will play opening night, but all three of those guys will get opportunities with Malinsky.
Yeah, and I think that's the way I look at it too. Malinsky is safe, and I think actually when we're talking about DeHaan, he's safe because of that Jack Johnson role, right? Even if Brännström or Chylington step up, and they look like they should be paired with Malinsky on that third pair, you're still going to want DeHaan in that Jack Johnson role where maybe he plays, maybe he's not playing, but you want him as a seventh defenseman because you know he can step in and be responsible. So I look at Malinsky as a lock, and I look at DeHaan as a lock, although we just don't know necessarily what the role will be. So that's simplifies, and maybe in the next two preseason games, I keep an eye out for Brännström and Chylington because those are two guys that, at least in the longer term, are probably going for one spot.
Yeah, that's ultimately a good way to look at it. It's not that DeHaan is a lock for a top six role, but I think he's a lock to be on this roster unless his game completely trails off, which it hasn't. He's a guy that also played 40-something games last year, was healthy, scratched a lot with the Tampa Bay Lightning, especially in the playoffs. So he is, you know, it looks like more open to being a healthy scratch. Jack Johnson hasn't been healthy scratch the last couple of years. So this is a guy that, you know, is going to be able to, you know, be willing to accept that role if that's what it comes to. But at the same time, you know, if Chylington and Brännström both play well, the Avalanche, you know, they can even still carry eight defensemen when Nichushkin's healthy, because it, you know, they'll just be able to kind of maneuver with carrying lesser forwards and only staying at 12, sometimes 13. But you know, obviously you're not going to do that unless you know all eight of these guys are doing well, all eight of these guys fit into the system, and we can't possibly lose any one of them because we need depth heading into the playoffs, which obviously is something that this is always necessary when guys like Manson, Makar, and Gerard get hurt or miss time.
Last one for you, Arif. Let's turn to the goaltending. For the first time in a while, it feels like the Avalanche know, you know, even health-related and everything, what they've got in net with Alexander Georgiev and Justus Annunen. When you look at that pairing in the early going, is there any reason to believe that the Avs are anything but comfortable? There has been some idea that with Georgiev up for a new contract relatively soon, that perhaps the Avs may be looking to upgrade that position.
It's going to be pretty similar to last year. It's going to be two guys that you're comfortable starting with, but knowing very well that if things hit the fan down the road, a move will need to be made. I'm not sold on Justus Annunen 100% yet. I'm not saying he's a bad goalie. I'm just saying that I still don't think we've seen enough to comfortably say this is a backup goalie in the NHL. And he might be. He might be the guy that sticks around, or by December 1st, you have me on the show. We're talking about the next Jake Allen or Marc-Andre Fleury or whatever, like last season, like we were doing with the goalie market. So you never know. And then you got Georgiev, who last year gave you a lot of reasons to not be so confident in him. And then he picked it up in the playoffs after game one against Winnipeg. But in 2023, he gave you a lot of reasons why he is a very more than capable goalie to win a Stanley Cup for this team, or at least lead them to the playoffs, I should say. So both options, are they comfortable with them right now? Yes. Do they need to make a waiver wire pickup like last year because Frankie was injured and they had to pick up Prosvetov because Annunen wasn't ready? No, I don't think they need to do that. But if things go well, things go well. If they don't, ultimately what I'm saying is you're not the Islanders. You don't have Sorokin and Varlamov, knowing very well that these guys are playing the entire season. You have two guys that are very comfortable playing those roles, but if any of them falters, you're making a move.
Questions remain for the Avalanche. Two more preseason games, as Arif mentioned, tomorrow in Vegas, and then they'll play a neutral site with the Utah hockey team to finish off the preseason. A week from tonight, the puck drops for real. You want to make sure, if you're not following Arif on social media already, you absolutely want to, and catch his coverage that he puts together for the Avs everywhere. And make sure you subscribe to the new podcast, Rinkside with Arif Dean. Does a terrific job with it. Arif, it's always a treat to get to talk to you about the Avs. I always enjoy every one of them. Looking forward to the season starting out, and hopefully we'll get to keep doing this. Thanks so much.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Sean. And I do want to clarify, I don't know if there was a little bit of confusion. All of my writing is at Colorado Hockey Now. Ringside, yes, with Arif Dean is a Mile High Sports podcast. So I have not taken that. So I am still part of the Mile High Sports team as a podcaster, and I'm excited to do that. I'm excited to do these radio shows.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So thanks again. Have a great week.
Thank you. You as well, Sean.
Appreciate All right. It. Thank you so much. It is Wednesday, and on Wednesdays, we talk a little bit about mental health and wellness, and that's where our friend Dr. Rick Perea comes in. Dr. Rick's been one of the leading performance psychologists across the sports world for the last decade or so with the Broncos when they won Super Bowl 50. He's worked with the Rockies when they made the playoffs. That actually happened. They didn't lose 100 all the time, and has been able to help them over the years. But he also helps local athletes, younger athletes, people in high school and college, and more than that, he can help you, whether you're instead of the athletic days have gone by and you're working your time in your job, whatever it is, we can always do a little bit better with a checkup from the neck up and a little bit of a mental tune-up. And sometimes that's a little bit of hard work and a little bit of humility, and we have to be able to do that. And that's where Dr. Rick Perea can help. So go check out everything he puts together at thinkone4u.org. That's thinkone, the number, for you.org. Learn about Dr. Rick and his team, and you can also get more from him on Wellness Wednesdays right here on Mile High Sports. So check it out. Dr. Rick Perea, performance psychologist. Think One For You is the website, and on Wellness Wednesdays, get your checkup from the neck up with Dr. Rick.